Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Coming up on Hellas Intrigue, we'll talk about the players who made it to OTAs this week, as well as what to expect during mandatory minicamp next week. All that and more coming up on Hellas Intrigue. Potsy, as you and I sit here today on a Wednesday afternoon, the Bears roster is full. Jalen Johnson returned this week for OTAs, as he said he would. Guard Nate Davis, who the team gave $30 million to over 3 years just 2 months ago, showed up this week for the first time as well. Jalen really spent some time talking to us afterwards, telling us that this was not a big deal at all. Do you buy it? And what do you make of his returning for the end of OTAs and for mandatory minicamp next week?
Well, I buy it. He sure sounded sincere, and that's Jalen's been that kind of guy.
Right.
So yeah, I will definitely buy that. I just think that it was poorly handled by the Bears, and
right.
This could have easily been avoided just with some simple communication.
Right.
And it was just miscommunicated. All the Bears had to do was to. To communicate exactly why, exactly what Jalen Johnson explained to us today, that he wanted to spend more time at home with his family, his foundation, and he would be here in week three.
But the rub is that by explaining it, the Bears are condoning it, and I don't think they condone it, regardless of what they might say publicly.
Whether they condone it or not, all they have to, they cause more problems by not explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
So. They weren't happy about it, but I mean, it would have saved a lot of people. They caused their own problem.
Right.
This was not a media blow up situation. We just went by the information we had. They could have given us better information, and they didn't. I mean, even last week, Matt Eberflus said on the record he did not know if Jalen Johnson was going to be here this week.
He said maybe,
so
hopefully,
what's that all about?
Maybe, hopefully, kind of.
It was confusion, but I guess the big thing is the what you take out of it is, at least on the record, it's not a job action. It's not.
No.
In fact, Jalen Johnson was pretty clear that, well, I don't know how clear he was, but that, he wants to get something done, but he certainly didn't even imply any kind of deadlines that this would become antagonistic, mm-hmm. kind of even, push back against the Roquan Smith. When I asked him about Roquan Smith, if that had any impact on him, push back against that. So it doesn't sound, this time, things change, we all know. It doesn't sound like if he doesn't get anything done by a certain time, there's going to be an issue. We do know he thinks pretty highly of himself and he deserves a pretty good contract. I think that's probably the biggest issue is, right. And this is, again, probably a discussion for another day, is at what point does Ryan Poles pay to keep his best players happy? Maybe
right.
overpay
right.
to keep his best players happy. So far, he has been unwilling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
At what point will he do that? And how does that... How is that a part of good culture, which
right.
they love? So we'll see.
Of course, the reason it was a story that Jalen wasn't here for the first 2 weeks of OTAs is because he's entering the final year of his contract.
Right.
Much the same way Roquan Smith was last year. Roquan did go to these things and then was a hold-in during training camp.
Right.
Jalen kind of bristled at the notion that this was related to his contract. But I think it's worth pointing this out, too. He is looking for a new agent. How quickly he gets one may have something to do with how quickly they get a deal done. I think it was presented to him maybe by Jason Leisure that, speaking generally, people want to get a new deal done before, they take any contact in August.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good deadline for that. When it was Ryan Pace, he would do it kind of in the first couple of weeks of training camp. We saw that with a lot of different guys. And maybe that'll be the case here with Jalen and Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney. It's worth pointing out with Mooney that Matt Eberflus said that he will be ready for training camp and that he is on track to return from a really gross-looking ankle injury.
I'll say this about Jalen Johnson. He did not, like I said, he did not seem like he would have an issue with playing through camp without a contract, but his upcoming agent might have
soon to be agent. Yes.
So that's why things can really change, based on.
But when somebody asked him about Roquan, he kind of said, like, "Hey, man, that's not who I am." Right? I mean, he was going out of his way to say, like, he didn't say you don't have to worry about me holding out, but he kind of said that, right?
All we can tell you right now is, based on my years of experience doing this, this will not be a problem until it's a problem.
Sure, right. And he was there. Other people there, Eddie Jackson, Potsy, who suffered a Lisfranc injury in late November against the Jets. I mean, a Lisfranc on the list of stuff you don't want to get. Lisfranc's pretty high, right? It's Lisfranc, yeah. Achilles. What else would you not wish on your worst enemy?
I don't know.
Don't get fired.
ACL?
Yeah, well, ACLs are commonly repaired. But
yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Those can be. Remember Mark Colombo had?
Yeah.
Nerve damage.
Eddie Jackson was back out there today. He had been doing individuals early in the week and did some team drills this week. You know, I was doing some numbers on him, Potsy. Like, on a team without stars, Eddie Jackson, like, is absolutely one. He certainly paid like one. He was their highest paid player last year. He's going to be their second highest paid player this year in terms of salary cap. And how about this for a stat? The next closest defensive player to him in terms of base salary is making about $9 million less. So, you know, I don't know whether he's high-priced talent, but he's certainly high-priced, to quote Major League.
I got to say, maybe that's why you don't overpay to keep your best players happy. I
mean, right.
You can argue that's an example of that, so maybe you're right.
But he's coming off his best season in 4 or 5 years, probably.
He is, and if this defense ascends as you think it would in Eberflus' second year, he's kind of at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
He's in a defense he kind of knows. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, he's in the second year. He's healthy. He's a really good player who could benefit from being part of a good defense. We've already seen that. He was never better than when he was part of a great defense.
Sure.
So, yeah, so the timing could be good for Eddie Jackson. I will say this about all the things we talked about. The one thing I'm most concerned about is Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, sure.
That is if I had to say what's my biggest concern out of all these things we've talked about or all these things affecting the Bears right now, it is Darnell Mooney and how he will come back from that injury. And I thought it was, you know, surgical repair. And I know the injury was tough. I didn't realize that the surgery was complicated. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I don't know. I'm just got a not great feeling. This is one of those things I got to see it to believe it, that
sure.
He's going to come back ready for training camp in late July.
Well, and part of it, too, is we know Mooney a little bit, better than a lot of the guys around here, in part because he's one of the few guys who have been around here for a couple of years. But the way he goes about things the right way, remember when Ryan Poles got here, you said to him essentially, so who do you like on your team?
He said, one guy.
It was Mooney. And then for him to get hurt just, you know, a couple of, you know, maybe 2 months away from getting a contract extension.
Yes.
And the fact that this could mess up his money is bad. I mean, you feel for the guy. You also figure that if he can get back healthy, Potsy, you know, he's got a chance to be part of a pretty decent receiver core, depending on how you want to look at Chase Claypool.
It seems
like Claypool's been banged up the last week or so, but
yeah.
The Bears are saying the right things about him, too.
And, you know, Mooney is not just a beneficiary of that. He is one of the guys who's have to kind of initiate it. And mm-hmm. they kind of need him. I don't think DJ Moore can be as good as he can be without Darnell Mooney, you know, being back. I mean,
right.
He could, I guess. Who knows, I guess. But I'm just saying, I think Darnell Mooney coming back is a big key to this offense because he's just so versatile. He's a guy who understands the nuances of his position and of this offense. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who, like Moore, can take a short pass long or go deep and catch a deep ball. So
and he might
like
be
that versatility.
He might be the only person as we sit here right now who knows Justin Fields, too.
And he's got a net, too. But the question is, will he be the same player? I guess, you know, neither of us being doctors, but the way this thing is going, you got to wonder that. Will he be the same player he was? And, you know, he wasn't great last year. You know,
right.
He was still learning this offense, too. I think, wasn't that the game he had, like, the 50-yard
yeah.
catch that he
mm-hmm.
got hurt in? So,
mm-hmm.
But he had just started to really make big plays. And so he still has a lot to prove. So all I'm saying is I think that's something I'm definitely going to keep my eye on as we get closer and closer to training camp and see what happens.
DJ Moore seems to be building a rapport with Justin Fields.
Yes.
It's just a backfield. It's just June. We do not want to make too much of it.
That's the false narrative that I will be front and center tomorrow in the paper promoting. The DJ Moore, Justin Fields chemistry, good chemistry, quantum leap angle. And
was that Jaquan Brisker?
I'm guilty as charged already.
What did Jaquan Brisker say? What, they're like brothers, something like
the best endorsement of all coming from a player who plays against them.
Sure.
Which another thing that fuels that kind of narrative. So it'll sound great, and at least, you know, I've joked for years about the false narratives of the off season and training camp. But at least this is at a very high level. This is Justin Fields, a really highly rated quarterback, and DJ Moore, a proven receiver. So it's got, even though it might not be as good as it sounds now, at least has a better chance than hoping that 33-year-old Jimmy Graham will recapture his youth with the Bears. So, and Jimmy Graham was better than we thought, so I don't want to disparage him. But that's the kind of thing, you know. Jermaine Ifedi will be better at guard than he was at tackle. You know, all those narratives, you know, whatever.
We're dealing
at a higher level now, so we've got a better chance of success.
Was it Juan Casillo who told us that he thought Jermaine Ifedi could make a Pro Bowl? Was that around this time?
Yes, yes. With all due respect to Jermaine.
How important is it for Justin to have a go-to guy? And I ask you this because, you know, when Ryan Poles got here, he said, listen, we've done studies. And in these studies, it said, you know, the quarterbacks who make a leap between year one and year two do so because they have a security blanket. Yeah. And then they didn't get him one. Now they seem to have. Do you think DJ Moore make Justin Fields or vice versa?
No, I think DJ Moore will be a bigger help because he's already proven he can succeed
crappy quarterbacks.
So I think DJ Moore can do more for Justin Fields. And, like, yeah, but, you know, besides just – you can't just place the guy in the number one spot and expect him to be the number one guy. He's got to kind of earn that. That has to develop. That's kind of the counter to what, frankly, I'm going to be writing about the chemistry issue in tomorrow's paper, in Thursday's paper.
Depending on
when you're listening. I can never figure out the whole dating thing where people are listening to this a week from now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it takes time to develop this, and so that will be the key. But that is absolutely important. If you saw the development of Davante Adams, a second round draft pick with Aaron Rodgers, and then you saw how they were like telepathic and how big a factor that was. I think it's absolutely crucial to have a guy like that. And you need a guy, frankly, who, like, I hate to pick on Equanimeous St. Brown. I think he was the one who had that drop pass in the Miami game.
Yep.
That ball goes to DJ Moore this year. Okay.
No, Mooney dropped it at the Miami game.
In the Miami game.
The Washington game, it was Mooney who dropped it at the
goal line. Yeah, right. I'm talking about making that play that keeps the drive alive and gives you a chance to kick a field. That goes to DJ Moore this year. And whether or not there's I think whether or not there's chemistry, it goes to him because he is the number one guy. But it always helps to have that intuition you have with the quarterback. We've seen it so many times with the Packers and obviously with Brady and all those guys. So anyway, I to answer your question, yeah, it's absolutely crucial. But I'm just saying they don't have it yet. It still has to develop. But at least now they got a chance.
You brought up the Packers, so worth bringing this up. I asked Luke Getsy kind of what he thought about Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. And he essentially said,
He essentially said Aaron who?
Yeah. No, he said the notion that he's in some sort of slowdown is wrong or overblown.
That's a huge point of contention.
Yeah.
Because at the end of last year,
right,
he wasn't the kind of guy, he was not the quarterback who could lift the team out of a bad performance. That was one of the first times that they failed, and it was because of their offense, their last loss. So I guess I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm just saying that's a legitimate point of contention.
Sure.
Don't you think how much, not that he's done, but how much does he have left in the tank as far as getting to that previous level?
I think I will praise him by insulting him, Potsy. I wonder how much interest he had in last season, and I wonder whether being in a new place will invigorate him in a way that might make him more apt to do the little things on and off the field that might produce better Sunday performances.
It could, and that could, but I mean, they had the ultimate incentive. They were making a huge playoff run and had it in the grasp of their hand. And when it's in Aaron Rodgers' hand, you pretty much figure it's going to get done, and it did not. So it wasn't like he was just playing out the string and they were heading downhill. So we'll see, but it's interesting. We'll see what happens. You know, I like Rodgers. I hope he does well, and I hope he still has something left. And it'd be great for the Jets. You talk about the Bears and the Lions and the Commanders. A lot of teams, the Jets of an AFL team, are just as established. Mm-hmm. These established franchises really struggling to become something. So it would be great for the Jets to do well. So that would be kind of neat.
I'll give you one more, Potsy. The Bears have mandatory minicamp next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they will break. Can we learn anything from those 3 days other than, God willing, nobody gets hurt? You ask this question a lot of coaches, and I don't know that you've been satisfied yet. Is there a tangible thing that you can hang your hats on based on what happens, in shorts?
Not to my untrained eye, I'll be very honest. I don't. Some of these other guys might be able to see something, because even when we ask that question, it's things like the offensive line and who can tell, how can I tell what the offensive line is better this year, that they're working any better when they're in shorts and shells and not sometimes not even in that. Sometimes it's just like or going against air versus not even playing against a defense. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe if you you can tell. But I guess we've had so many false positives in that situation. In training, let alone that. In training camp we get that. So I don't know. I'm not. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how to answer that question. I just think. Let's fast forward to training camp in the season, and that's when you find out. No matter what happens next week, or even at the beginning of training camp. We're not going to know much about this team until the bell rings, because they're in that formative. They're in such a formative stage.
Yeah. Also, they're throwing. they're throwing against their teammates.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
it's a zero sum game. Practice is a zero sum game.
Bears win every practice. I do know that. Yeah. So we will get back at you next week as we head into the summer. But until then, you can follow Potsy on Twitter and in the Sun Times, myself as well, and Jason Leisure. Please like, rate, and review the podcast. And if you're in Chicago, pick up a paper. For Jason Leisure, for Mark Potash, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.